Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So what do you do while you wait? What do you do while you wait? Let's say you're at a traffic light. Now, some people try to decode the vanity license plates around them, reading them backwards and forwards, or phonetically, trying to figure out what it's trying to say. More and more people these days call or text. Some people work on their fingernails or pluck their eyebrows, or worse, in the rearview mirror. What do you do while you wait? Let's say you're waiting for an elevator. Some people stare straight ahead as if their x-ray vision will automatically open that door. Other people push that button, as if it's going to magically, you know, jump 2-3 floors. Many years ago, Tony Campolo suggested that you sing if you get into a crowded elevator. And I have to confess, more than once, I've done that. Humor is usually my agenda on those occasions. It usually goes something like this. You know, we're packed in like sardines, and I give the invitation. Well, we're going to be traveling together. We should get to know each other. Let's sing. And then I go, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." Right? And there's laughter, and there's silliness, and joy, and lots of fun. While intended for fun, I do remember doing that one time with a little different results. The family entered the hospital elevator wearing the weight of the world, and I was wearing one of those clergy collared shirts, so I looked like a Catholic priest, and I don't know why I said it, but I said it. I blurted it out, and I started to sing. And the family, not joyfully, but mournfully, joined in. They weren't laughing. They weren't embarrassed. There was no silliness there. We all got off on the bottom floor and started to exit, and the matriarch of the family turned and in all seriousness said, "Thank you. My husband passed this morning." And before I could say anything, she said, "That was our song." And I stood there speechless, not knowing what to say. So what do you do while you're waiting? What do you do while you're waiting for Jesus to come into your life, while you're waiting to find God in your life? The burning question for Christians at the end of the first century, as it drew near, had to do with waiting for Jesus. Ever since Jesus had given the Great Commission, ascended to heaven, believers were expecting Jesus to return right away. But 60 years had passed since Jesus had spoken. Not only had the first generation passed away, but the most of the next one. And so it was troubling for believers that Christ had not returned as they had anticipated. And they waited. They had waited and waited. And I can imagine others mocking the Christians and their beliefs, saying, "Well, it's obvious that what Jesus said wasn't true. What else isn't true?" Well, the Apostle Peter wrote to try to help believers make sense of their long and frustrating wait, citing that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. So this long wait, 2,000 years almost, it's like a couple days. If God can be patient with us this long, how is it that we cannot be patient with God? I think what the Bible is trying to say is that we think we're waiting on God to bring healing and peace. But in truth, God is waiting on us. We think God's waiting, or that God is trying our patience with this delay of 2,000 years. While God is waiting for us to lead lives of peace, of holiness, of godliness, and live where righteousness is at home. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty long wait. So what do we do while we wait? The writer of 2 Peter offers us some very clear and practical advice. Quote, "Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found at peace." That's 2 Peter 3:14. What should we do while we wait for God to come? Strive to be found at peace. Peace in your mind, body, and soul aren't just goals for your doctor for you. Peace in your mind, body, and soul is what Jesus is looking for in us. Peace is what we're to be busy about and doing while we're waiting. So how do we do that? We have to apologize to people who have things against us. We have to forgive people whom we have things against. We have to get straight in our minds and hearts what's really important. We have to devote ourselves to holiness and godliness. We have to pray for peace. We have to work for peace. We have to value peace. We have to quit disturbing the peace, breaking the peace, destroying the peace with our selfishness, our worry, our anxiety, our cruelty, and revenge-taking. That's right, each one of us, while we wait, is expected to become not just a hearer, but a doer of peacemaking. Don't depend on your partner, significant other to do it for you. Each one of us has to do it. You and I are to be a peacemaker at home, a peacemaker at work, a peacemaker at church, a peacemaker in the community, a peacemaker within our schools and within our souls. Jesus prayed that we might know the things that make for peace. He lived a life, showed us what caring, healing, comfort, courage makes. That kind of forgiving and for being forgiven that make for peace. So what do we do while we wait for God to come? While we're waiting, we need to do something. First, take action. Christians are people who are called to advocate for change. So if you can help educational, governmental, institutional agencies do a better job in treating the mentally ill, do it. If you can lobby for the poor and the marginalized in this community, do it. If you can use your voice to help soften the rhetoric and encourage civil discourse, do it. While we wait, if you can take action to apply the axe to the root of violence that's plaguing our society, do it. Second, take no action. That is, while we wait, take no violent action yourself. Embrace peace as a lifestyle choice. Never lift your voice, your hand against another living creature. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, urges, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. A soft answer turns away wrath, so goes the ancient Hebrew proverb, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Martin Luther King said, nonviolence is a powerful and just weapon. It is a weapon unique in history. It cuts without wounding and ennobles the one who wields it. It is a sword that heals. Third, be of your own mind. Resist the temptation to follow the masses, because sometimes the M is silent. Well, don't mimic the masses, especially during election season. Don't succumb to the mindset of the crowd, to a cog of machinery of violence. Think for yourself, read for yourself, analyze for yourself. When I was a kid, we had things called newscasters. Now we have news commentators telling folks what to think. And if that's not scary, I don't know what is. Fourth, embrace agape love. Agape love is so important concept. The Bible again and again calls us to express agape love. The biblical texts are clear not only about loving ourselves, loving our neighbor, but also loving our enemies. This principle which we must first embrace for ourselves, before we can teach it to others. Martin Luther King Jr. was right when he talked about the importance of agape love. He said, quote, "Agape love does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people or any other qualities people possess. It begins by loving others for their own sake. Therefore, agape love makes no distinction between friend or enemy. It's directed toward both." Wow. King also said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." If you're upset about what's going on in our country, share some light. Share some love. My prayer for this congregation is that God will enable us to be doers. Not just Sunday morning hearers. It's an exciting time to be a part of this church. Keep your ears open. Keep your hearts praying. Keep your hands working. And finally, from the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, chapter 29. Be totally empty. Embrace the tranquility of peace. Watch the workings of all creation. Observe how endings become beginnings. I pray with the death of John McCain that we can learn to talk with each other again. To put it more bluntly, Will Rogers said, "Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there." Don't be just hearers of the word. This Sunday morning, be doers. Do something. Don't just act busy. While you wait, do something. Strive for peace with every breath, with every step, with every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.